on this most unusual of days, a day that started out for all of us as if it were any other day, but then became a day like no other day and has since become the day that changed every other day. Joining us is Robert Totman. He is the author of Corridors in the Sky, and he was not only present like the rest of us on 9/11, but present in a very unique way. Robert, welcome to Mornings with Carmen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell us about the unique position you were in on September the 11th, 2001.
Sure. I was working as an air traffic controller at New York Center. That's an air traffic control facility that covers a large portion of the Northeast, very congested, very busy. I went to work that morning. It was a normal morning. You know, I feel like I'm in control of everything, my life, and pretty much doing whatever I wanted. But went into work that day. I guess ATC has a reputation for being complicated, and that's not a false reputation. It is complicated. I think that's where multitasking came from, ATC. It was not unusual to have a dozen or more aircraft on the frequency at one time while listening to a speaker that accessed another dozen ground facilities, air traffic control facilities, and then also have a person sitting to your left and a person sitting to your right, and you have to pay attention and keep track of all of it at the exact same time. For me, I don't know, I guess God created me to do it because I was like a fish in water with the ATC. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. Honestly, looking back, I don't feel like I had to try very hard. I graduated the training as Distinguished Honor Graduate. I certified as a professional in a fraction of the time of most people. And none of that helped me on 9/11. As I sat there feeling like I was in control, the military called and said, "Hey, can you confirm do we have a hijacked aircraft flying over Manhattan?" And I actually smarted off to him. "I don't know. You should watch CNN. At the time, I had what's called in air traffic control a primary target in that area, which means you can see there's something there, but you don't know if it's, you know, a hang glider or a jet. There's just something in the air. You have no information on it. And I continued working air traffic. And a few minutes later, they called me back. "Hey, can you confirm that primary target has hit the World Trade Center?" And all I could do is look at the scope and say, "Well, it was there and now it's not." Mm. And as the day unfolded, you know, I remember the realization that America, we're under attack. This is an attack on America. And it's so, even 20 years later, looking back, bizarre to me that as far as I know, I followed the book exactly. I did everything I was supposed to do, but there was no way to stop the attack. There was nothing I could do to hinder even the bad guys from having their way.
I'm wondering, as you reflect on that, and thank you. Thank you for sharing your experience of that day. I'm wondering, Robert, you know, as you processed it early on, and then as you have been able to process it over time, that seems like a statement of reality in the midst of a sinful world. Even if I follow the book exactly, there's nothing I can do to keep the bad guys from having their way. That's not a fatalistic statement. It is a true statement about reality.
Right. Since 9/11, I learned that Jesus said, "Oh, there will be storms." And depending on how you've built, that will determine how your storm ends, you know. And another passage in the Bible says, "Hey, don't be surprised at the fiery trial that's come. Don't be surprised." So, yeah, it's very powerful. I didn't plan to say that, but it is powerful, isn't it? I mean, even when I look around today, I think, wow, it seems like there's nothing we can do to stop the enemy. We know that God is worthy to be praised. And I guess the key there is the more you know him, the easier it is to praise him. And somehow it's all mystically related. I believe with all of my heart that every nation's security is directly related to its individual citizens' worship. What are they worshiping? Because that creates, if you will, their security in a sense, or lack thereof security. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, exactly. What follows for you in terms of 9/11, 2001? It's been 20 years. I know that at some point after planes went back in the sky, air traffic controllers went back to their chairs. What followed for you?
For me, it began with nightmares. I'd been working traffic for, or air traffic for, I don't know, 10 years at that point, maybe a little more, and had never had a nightmare. But on September 12th, I began having nightmares, and then endured nightmares constantly after that. But I went back to work. I was able to do my job up to standard. I did turn to alcohol. I did turn to drugs. I felt like I was experiencing death when I would go to sleep. Like many times, I would wake up having just escaped the clutches of death, and that happened over and over and over. And I guess I was trying to insulate, or I don't know what. But I did turn to drugs and alcohol, and I had a bad drug test, a random drug test, in January of 2002. So just within a few months, and by June of 2002, I had been fired for failure to comply with drug testing procedures. That was a shocker because ATC was my everything, my identity, and all of that. So I sat around rather suicidal for a couple of years, and when I sealed the deal with God, made a prayer, I'm done here. If there's anything you could do with me, please do. I told him I don't really want to do this, but I feel like I'm bad for all those around me. I'm a danger for my kids. I'm no fun for my wife. The best thing would be just remove me from the equation. And as I recall, that was about, I think that was a Wednesday. And the following Sunday, I took my family to church like I had been doing on and off over the years. And as soon as I set foot in the sanctuary, I thought I smelled flowers. And I looked around, there were no flowers in the church. I asked my wife, "Do you smell that?" She said, "I don't smell anything." Everything changed for me that day. Even the dreams, that very night, the dreams changed. I dreamt just in big, bold letters, James 1:17. And so I looked it up at 2 in the morning, James 1:17, and I was, awe began forming in my heart, awe for God and awe for his word. And I'd like to stay there the rest of my life in awe of God and his word. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. And I love verse 18 too. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. And for me at that time, I read that and thought, wow, he doesn't change. He was good when he gave me that good job. I screwed it all up, and he's still good. He doesn't change, for one. And for another, as we look around and see a dark and perverse generation, that specific one says he's the father of what? He's the father of lights. It comes, things like in that passage is saying, look up, the good things are coming down to you from above. And he's the father of heavenly lights. And another passage says, if you cling to the word of life, you'll shine like a star in the night sky. And so that began feeding me, and we began becoming in awe of God, and day by day, more and more awe and wonder. My wife surrendered to Jesus within a week or so and received him as her savior. In 2005, I quit my job. It was a different job by then, a charity job. And it was with the Salvation Army. We sold our home, gave all our possessions away. The proceeds from selling the home, gave it all away. We're counting on you, Lord. And we did not go from church to church asking money. We didn't go to people asking money. It was a very unique experience, I'm sure. And about 6 months later, we learned, oh, wow, we're missionaries now. When someone told us, that's what you're doing, it's like you're a missionary. And the Lord upheld us and supported us, carried along. I would get invited to churches to speak occasionally. We began tending to the homeless, to abused children, to people in maximum security prison, seeking the Lord day by day, making his word our comfort. And I've been through a trial even this week, and I just have to boast that the Lord is amazing. If we will seek him, he's there with his words to give us exactly what we need, exactly when we need it.
Amen. Hey, we're talking with Robert Totman. He was an air traffic controller at New York Center on 9/11, 2001. He is a redeemed brother in Christ, and we're going to continue our conversation in just a moment. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen.
Just when you think it might be.
Continuing our conversation now with Robert Totman. He is, among other things, author of Corridors in the Sky, bit of his story related to his experience of 9/11/2001 and the way in which God has shown up for him personally in praiseworthy ways over the course of these now 20 years. Robert, talk with us about why God is worthy of glory and praise.
Yeah, well, for that, if you don't mind, the Song of Moses has been echoing in my heart this week. And I think it's interesting because if I understand correctly, that's a passage of scripture that's honored by the Christian faith, the Jewish faith, and other faiths. Mm-hmm. And in the song of, now this is at the end of Moses' life, and he recites this song, it says in the Bible, word for word. And in it, God says, the Lord saw this and rejected them because he was angered by his sons and daughters. God wasn't angry with the heathens that didn't know him. He was upset with his sons and daughters. It goes on in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 19 and 20. God says, I will hide my face from them and see what their end will be. For they are a perverse generation, children who are unfaithful. And then to answer your question, it goes on in the Song of Moses, and it's not sounding good near the end of chapter 32. Now I'm in verse 39. God says, there is no God besides me. I put to death and I bring to life. I have wounded and I will heal. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I sharpen my flashing sword and my hand grasp it in judgment, I will take vengeance on my adversaries and repay those who hate me. And it says, make his people rejoice, you nations, for he will avenge the blood of his servants. He will take vengeance on his enemies. And then here's the exact answer, Ms. Carmen, to your question. God says he will take vengeance on his enemies and make atonement for his land and people. And I say that he's worthy to be praised because we are helpless. Left to our own, we will destroy each other in no time flat. And yet he made a way for us. He came himself and made atonement for us. And that atonement is Jesus Christ, that he stood in our place and bore the wrath that we were due for forsaking God, for being unfaithful to God. So this, you know, to get to know that atonement, to first believe an atonement, he made atonement for me. He produced a sacrifice, you know, for me, one that I could not conjure up or obtain by effort. But he actually made a way. We humble ourselves and accept that way and get to know our Father and get to know the atonement and the benefits that flow from it. And it's amazing because God's mercy endures forever. His grace tolerates everything on one hand. On the other hand, his holiness can tolerate no sin, none. His holiness, I mean, we would all just drop dead in his presence had he not made the atonement that everyone on earth is enjoying the benefits of right now. Everyone on earth is invited to accept and get to know the atonement and our Father who created that or sent that atonement for us.
I appreciate your personal testimony because I know it to be one that in very unique ways is repeated in many lives since 9/11 and in no small measure due to 9/11. Like there was a spiritual awakening that took place that was provided for by God following that event.
And you're talking, to the evidence. Yes, I'm sorry to finish your
sentence
there.
No, yeah. I'm talking to the evidence. Like, right?
That's right. That's right. And that encouraged me because I've been quite discouraged in the last year and a half looking around. But to consider now, hold on a minute. God is going to bring good out of this. What the enemy is meant for evil. Some people are going to come out and love God like they've never loved him before.
That's exactly right. And that's, you know, I'm so thankful for your willingness to talk with us and share your testimony, because it is not often we get to talk to the evidence. Like, right? So we get to talk to the evidence today. That is such a blessing to be able to look back and grieve again. I mean, we can all return to the moment, to the hour, to the days that followed, to the experience as a nation. For those of us who then sent young men and women overseas into war related to the events of 9/11 and received them back with soul wounds, and some received them back in pine boxes.
Yes.
This is a this is a day and an experience as a nation that we genuinely can never and should never and will never forget. But we also don't live there. We as Christians recognize that God has taken what others meant for evil, and he has used it to his glory for good, and you are evidence of that.
And just praise God, that was so well spoken. And when I think about, wait a minute, one soul or 100 souls or 1 million souls, rescued from eternal damnation, eternal isolation, eternal coldness, eternal darkness, it does make the suffering, in a sense, worth it. Although, you know, my heart goes out and my heart aches for those who perish, for those, I mean, there's people being raped. There's all kinds of horrible things going on. It's just, again, though, to me, it glorifies the grace of God in that light being birthed through the darkness. To me, it gives God glory. We have to honor him for his providence, you know, that he is in control of everything. And we might not be able to stop the attack, but we can trust the one who brings death and the one who brings life is in charge and is working out things according to what he has said. We must hear his voice and follow him.
Amen. Amen and amen. Robert Tottman, what a gift to get to talk with you today. Thank you for the ways in which you served on that most inauspicious of days 20 years ago. Thank you for your ongoing testimony, and we look forward to your book and what God might yet do with that. Corridors in the Sky by Robert Tottman. Robert, thank you so much for joining us on Mornings with Carmen.
Thank you, Carmen. Thank you very much. God bless you all.
Likewise. We'll be right back.